It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Welcome to the show. We appreciate everybody tuning in, as usual, each and every day. Hey, John, how you doing from upstate New York? We appreciate you tuning in. Good show lined up today. As you know, we bring in Steve Post weekly, and his appearance is brought to you by Sage Fruit. We want to thank those guys over there for allowing Steve to come over here and join us each and every Wednesday. And looking forward to talking to him about last week's dirt race at Bristol. And I'll be the first one to admit, as I did on Monday, that that race was much better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be just a crap show, to be honest with you. But I was blown away by the amount of racing and everything that went on at Bristol this weekend. I was pretty pumped up about it. I know Austin was as well. Gosh, man, we hate to keep beating this drum, right? But it's something that we have to talk about. And we're going to start off our show today with it. Hey. How you doing there, Mel? We appreciate you tuning into the show. It's not good, folks. I know we've been talking about it quite a bit on the show here in the last couple days, and we're going to continue to talk about it today. As a letter came out to the World of Outlaws stating that they're going to be limited on their right rear tires. They've got plenty of fronts, plenty of left rears, but they're having a problem with the H's, right? And they're only going to have 30 right rears, 30 H's, this weekend at Tri-City and Hobstadt, right? They're not going to have more than 30 right rear tires. And Austin, I don't know how many of the World of Outlaw teams, I don't know how they buy their tires, if they buy them in bulk before the year starts or not. But this is going to be an issue if they don't do that. If some of these teams don't have a large quantity of right rears, they're going to be in trouble this weekend, don't you think?
They are. And, you know, the trailer that goes to all of the World of Outlaw events that brings, you know, Hoosier Tires is, like you said, only bringing 30 H15 right rears. There's about 10 to 15, you know, full-timers on the Outlaw Tour.
Right.
And you need at least two new right rears every night. You need to qualify on a new one. Race it in the heat race, and then if you make the dash, if not the B main, and then you most likely put a new one on for the feature if you're starting up front. And if you're going to try to limit that down to two nights of racing, so that's only, you know, one tire per 15 teams, you know, every night, and you can't make that last. I'm not 100% sure on how they buy their tires. I'm assuming that they buy in bulk at times, but you can't buy in bulk anymore. You're getting one every time you go to the track.
Yeah. I got to believe that the teams are prepared for this, though. Don't you think so? I mean,
if
you're a World of Outlaw team, don't you try to scrounge up as many H's as you can before the race?
Yes. And then they probably knew this was coming a little sooner than we did. You know, they're mainstreaming the situation, and we're just, you know, the media outside of it. But, yeah, you got to buy in bulk, and that's kind of like what I did with my car. I bought, you know, 12 tires here recently, and the Outlaw teams buy more than that. I bet you they bought probably 50 tires to start the season, if not more. And
well, you don't have their budget.
I don't.
Right.
But that's just kind of an example. But yeah. I bet you they're just trying to buy in bulk as soon as they can, as early as they can, and ride the wave as long as you can.
You know, we're going to ask Steve Post if Goodyear is going to have the same problem. Again, it's the nylon is the problem, and getting the material to make the nylon for the tires is the biggest issue. I just hate it for everybody that, to be honest with you, I think there's going to be a point during the racing season that we're going to miss some races. And I know I've said that yesterday on the show, but I got to believe that we're going to miss some races during the heat of the summer because they're not going to be able to keep up with these tires.
That's like I was on my social media here before we went live, and, you know, more and more posts every day are on my timeline concerning tires.
Right.
You know, once you click on one article, you get about, you know, four or five more that show up. And, you know, another post that popped up was, you know, American Racer has shut down their production of tires, and we kind of talked about that yesterday and the day before. But yeah, once you shut down, you know, a major tire company like American Racer, which supplies sprint car tires, late model tire, modified tires, all kinds of that tires in that industry, you just, there's no way to like recover and get around it, and it's going to happen at some point.
Right. All right. So this is a, I'm just going to read a little bit of it, just so you can get an idea what this newsletter that we got our hands on. It leaked over to us, and we got our hands on it. Just wanted to give you guys an update on tire supply for Friday at Granite City and Hobstadt Saturday. Hoosier Tire Midwest has a good supply of fronts and left rears, but the supply of right rear H15s will be limited for the weekend. Scotty Fernandez, the trackside service manager, we have supplied 30 right rears total for both nights. Therefore, I'm suggesting one right rear per car each night to stretch out the inventory the best we can.
That trailer will be empty.
Quickly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I bet you they'll have at least 35 cars for those two events. I'm going to say anywhere from 35 to 40 cars each night.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of cars. I mean, those tires will go to your touring teams most likely, yeah. But I feel bad for everybody else that doesn't have anything.
Here's my favorite listener every day. Marie just checked in with us. Hello, Marie. Hey, David. Hey, Caleb. How's everything going with you guys? It says the inventory is very light across the country on H15s currently. We are doing our best to supply your competitors. I know this is not the best of news, but feel it's necessary to communicate in advance. Man.
It's about time they've started some communication.
Well, you know what? It's just not Hoosier, though, really. We know that McQuarrie's going to have a problem. And to be honest with you, I think McQuarrie's going to have a bigger problem because they have to service more people across America than just a few.
Well, McQuarrie's already shut down from what I've read.
Have you?
McQuarrie's
Where'd you get that at?
Let me try and go back. I should have. Did I screenshot it? I might have.
Well, while you're looking for that, I'm just going to say that I think the weekly racing people are going to have the biggest problem with the issue of getting tires, because most racetracks run McQuarrie's, right? Isn't that a fact? I mean, for the most part, don't they run McQuarrie's?
Yes, I might be
American
wrong
Racer.
This. I think like the IMCA is a Hoosier, but it's like the same tread pattern and like compound as a McQuarrie. Like IMCA, like modifieds, I think in stock cars are like the same as the American Racer, but it's just made by Hoosier.
Right.
I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
Well, I tell you, it's not going to get better anytime soon.
No.
No. I'm really concerned about what's going to happen here this summer. And I hate it for the fans as much as I do the competitors.
Yeah.
You know, when you don't race, if you don't race, you know, it's going to save you money. As much as I hate to say that, you know, the one thing that I don't miss about racing, I've said this many times to my friends privately, is that I don't miss spending the money.
No.
And I don't miss working on them. I miss driving them, but I don't miss working on them or spending the money.
I'll tell you the...
You know all about still spending the money.
Yeah, I know. And my car...
And you hate doing it, don't you?
I hate it. And my car sat on jack stands for over a month now. I mean, it's since the last race, but I've been ready for a month and it's just sat there. And it's nice, but I also tell you what's really nice too is when you can... You know, get hooked up with somebody else that wants to pay for it, and you can just show up and drive, and it's not on your dime, and it makes everything a little easier when you go to the races.
John, he brought up an interesting point here. He said people are going to buy used tires to try to make it every race. Hopefully it doesn't get to that. You may be right, John. I'm not saying that you're not right, but I hope it doesn't get to that.
I think I heard this correctly from somebody, another, you know, source through the weeds, is teams at Devil's Bowl when the Outlaws were there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
they were going to, you know, full-time Outlaw teams buying their used tires just to have a stock of tires. You know, like let's say they're 25.
Devil's Bowl was doing that?
Drivers at Devil's Bowl. So like they're going to the outlaw teams like your full timers and buying their 25 lap, 35 lap old takeoffs and just start stocking them at the shop just to have, you know, later in the summer.
What would you do with those? Would you just run them during your hot laps and heat race? Is that what you
run them when they don't matter? So like, you know, I try to at least qualify on a new one, then maybe, you know, race feature on that same tire you qualified on, but hot lap, heat race, and dash, and whatever else you got to do on a used tire, just try and get the most life out of it as you can.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see this weekend what happens. You know, US 36 has got the Lucasoil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. They're racing at Salina this weekend as well. We'll have to see how desperate they are with those guys when they get here in Kansas City.
If they get to race Saturday, it's not looking very good.
The weather, you know what?
90% chance of rain afternoon
on Saturday.
Yep. I'll check it again. That was 7 o'clock this morning.
You've got to be kidding me!
I'm really hoping it rains out. I hate to say it, but I really want to be there.
Because your motor's not ready. Yes. Just so he knows, he doesn't want it to rain out because he doesn't want to race. He wants it to rain out because his motor's not done yet.
I don't like watching the people race when I can be there. 90% chance of rain. They're calling for three quarters of an inch of rain Saturday. Starting
weather forecast for Osborne, Missouri. I'm going to look at it myself.
Yeah, go ahead. Starting at brief showers in the morning and then until 1 o'clock and 1 o'clock all the way until Sunday morning at 10.
It's not good.
No.
I hate that.
That poor place has got two sprint car shows about to get wiped out in about a three-week span.
That is not good.
But at least the ASCS will be back there in July on a Friday night show.
It's so bad for John Bowler up there, right? Because he lost the World of Outlaws date. Now he might lose the Lucasoil ASCS National Tour date.
Yes.
Not good.
At least he has one more date to fall back on in July. But two's better than one. One's better than nothing, right?
Right. Let's look. Oh, you're right. Mine says 58% chance. It says 52% chance of rain today, 24% chance tomorrow, 43% chance on Friday, and 58% chance on Saturday. Oh, gosh, I hate that. I've been looking forward to seeing my friends with the Lucasoil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour for a long time. You know, I miss them. Miss traveling up and down the road with them. You know what? I'm going to say the truth. I really don't miss traveling up and down the road.
Nobody does.
No.
Not right now.
You know, I thought I was going to miss it more. I really did. I thought I was going to miss it a lot. But turns out, I'm not missing it at all. Why is that, Austin?
I don't know.
Do you have any idea why?
You're not burnt out because you wouldn't be doing anything if you were burnt out. I don't know.
Well, you know. New start,
I guess.
You know what I think it is that I like doing what we're doing right here in this studio every day. That's what I think. That's what it boils down to, really. USAC Eastern Sprints canceled Bedford and Bloomsburg tire issues. So who do you think is going to have the bigger problem, the weekly racetracks or a sprint car series? What do you think?
Oh, I think everybody.
Or late models.
I think everybody equally is going to have a problem, you know, because, you know, the touring teams, they buy more tires than like a weekly competitor. You know, they race more and they put, you know, new one more often, but you can't get them, you know.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say the weekly racetracks are going to hurt the worst.
But you also they're racing one night a week, so they can kind of cycle more tires longer, and they're not racing as much if the tracks aren't bad.
Well, that's true, because when you raced your stock car, how often did you buy a tire?
Probably, I don't know, a couple nights.
Every two nights? Would you buy a right rear, or would you buy a...
It was usually a right rear than a left rear.
Yeah.
At least I got really abrasive on right rears when it flooded. Yeah. Brought a lot of sand in. Still is that way.
Well, let's just hope that doesn't happen, man. Gosh, dogs, I just hate it. And again, we're going to have Steve Post on here in a little bit. We'll ask him if Goodyear is going to have the same problem this year. Think about that. What if NASCAR has that problem? What if they can't get their hands on tires?
We're kind of talking about that, but
because think of the quantity of tires. Hey, Tony, how you doing, buddy? Think of the quantity of tires that they use.
Yeah, a lot.
What, 7-8 sets?
Well, I'll tell you who uses more is like Formula One. They're putting multiple sets on the car every. Like if you go out there and make two laps
what
in qualifying,
what kind of tire do they run?
Pirelli.
Pirelli.
If you go out there and make two laps in qualifying and you come back in, it's a new set. They throw those sets away and you might have two laps on them, but they're junk.
Mm.
But you know, we haven't heard any like national series like IndyCar, F1, NASCAR, IMSA, whatever you want to name, having issues like we are at the grassroots level.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see what Steve has to say on if he has any insight and knowledge on that.
Yeah. John just chimed in. He said, but without every week racing is not good for you and everyone else is out of a job. Well, we won't be out of a job. We'll just sit here and talk about it every day.
Yeah.
We're not going to be out of a job. But you know what? He's right, though. That could cost a lot of people a job that are working at these weekly racetracks, right? The people in the concession stands, the ticket booths, the officials, the announcers, let alone the promoters that are going to be losing money as well.
Yeah. Well, then you think about like your teams that race for a living. What are they going to do if they don't get to race? You know, they can't make a living.
Mm-hmm. Well, John Lee, he chimed in. He said they need to shorten those cup races to 200-mile races. You know, John, they've been wanting to do that forever, right? And I don't think NASCAR's ever going to do that. I think they would cancel a race before they would.
They shortened that Martinsville race.
Yeah, but it was 400, right? Instead of 500 laps. Shorten them to 400 is one thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's only 100 laps. That's 50 miles. Lost 50 miles off of it.
They're never going to shut. They're never going to shorten those cup races up to 200 miles. Never.
No.
Never happened.
How long was that dirt race? There's 250 at a half a mile?
250. Yeah.
Let me see how many miles that was.
Wouldn't that be 125?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See there?
Yeah, faster than I am.
I got it right here, bud.
I think
right
so.
Right here.
Yeah.
I can do numbers. So, I don't know. We'll just have to see and take a wait-and-see approach on it here. And Tony Pittman says that, I don't know if you know. Do you remember Tony Pittman?
No, I don't.
He raced against your dad in a late model back in the day.
Okay.
Really good race car driver. And he travels with a road course team. And he says they use one set every 40 minutes on a good day.
Wow.
Could you imagine that?
It's a lot.
Holy cow. So, anyway, long story short is that we just hope that this doesn't happen. I hate to keep beating the drum, but it's the biggest story in motorsports right now, and it's going to affect everything that we have going on here in the Midwest. MLRA is going to be down at Lucas Oil Speedway this weekend.
They are. Two-day show.
Yeah.
Support class of modified.
So where are you going to go this weekend if you don't race? What are you going to do? Where are you going to go?
I know for sure I'll be at Lakeside Friday with the modified. It's looking decent. I'm not going to say it looks great. I would like to get to race Lakeside just because I want to race something. Just not the sprint car right now.
Right. I'm going to be out there watching you race on Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get to see my suit.
Yeah,
maybe you can run some luck on it.
I think I've seen it one time.
We went backwards last week. Not good, but
one driver. I bought a driver a fire suit, and he raced out of Valley this last weekend.
He did,
and he didn't have my fire suit on.
He didn't.
He didn't.
Oh,
yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, I'm wondering what's going on.
I wear mine religiously.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Anyway, long story short. This weekend. Man, I wish I was out on the East Coast because I would love to go with the All-Stars this weekend. Bloomsburg, they're going to be racing there. They're going to be racing at Williams Grove and Port Royal. So wouldn't that be a good three-day show?
Yeah, Bloomsburg's kind of a new track. You know, that was like a fairgrounds track. I think Marie might correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember seeing it was like a fairgrounds track that got recently constructed here probably a year or two ago, and they haven't ran too many races on it. So that's kind of a tough deal if you lose a race out there, but hopefully they get to make this one up.
Oh. Caleb says Friday support at LOS is Show Me Vintage. Those boys are fun. And now, is that Lake Ozark Speedway or is that Lucas Oil Speedway?
I think it's Lucas.
It is?
They need to split the name.
LOS.
That's two tracks with LOS. Can't do that.
Can't do that. You got to really itemize which one you're talking about because my little peanut brain can't take that too much. Let me read here. Caleb says, technically, isn't Bristol 0.533, so it would be 133 miles. I guess it would be if it's 5.333. Sorry. I'm off a little bit there, Caleb. I'm not having the best.
133 and a quarter miles.
Yeah. Huh?
It's 133 and a quarter mile race.
Yeah.
He's off by a quarter.
It's
all good.
Hey, Tony, you know, why don't the people down there at Ozark National Speedway promote that racetrack more? You know, that's my biggest problem with the road racers. They're not promoting that beautiful facility that they have down there at the Lake of the Ozarks. We haven't got one press release about it. I haven't heard one thing about it.
I haven't either.
And I'm telling you, that's a beautiful place down there. Why are they not promoting the races and the stuff that's going on down there?
I'm not sure if they've actually had an official race yet, but I drove by it last summer coming back from the All-Star Show at the lake, and it just comes out of the middle of the woods. You don't know it's there. You can't see that it's there until you get up on the facility. But I stopped in and kind of looked at it. It's really nice. Yeah. It could be a really nice place if once they get racing on it, but... Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you. Why haven't we heard anything about it?
It's got to be one of the least promoted facilities in this area, and I don't know why. Why are they not promoting that racetrack any better than they should? I just don't get it. I don't understand it. What did we hear that Grandview Speedway's not selling tires either this weekend, right?
They have a different situation, so they're on American Racers as well. So let me get the press release pulled up. They are. So Grandview Speedway is an American Racer tire track.
Oh.
So what they do starting this week, the tire stamp rule will be lifted. Tires will be opened up to any stamped American Racer tire, but will be required to use the correct Grandview Speedway compounds, which are listed on their website.
Mm.
So they're kind of opening up to what you can run, just a little bit.
Run what you want to run, basically.
Pretty much. Just has to be the same compounds that are allowed at the Speedway.
Right. Nina just checked in with us. She said they do not have grandstands yet, also working on parking for fans. But I don't know why they're not hyping it up, though.
I mean,
really, why wouldn't they want to hype that thing up and build anticipation up for that racetrack?
They kind of need to do what I-70 did. Remember the big
whipped it forever. Yeah.
For the one Outlaw show they had. That's what they need to do down here.
Yeah.
I would go support it. I want to go see it.
Right. No, I definitely want to go see it, you know, and I'm going to go down there and hang out with my buddy Tony Pittman and watch some of those races down there. Tony, I don't know if you're still working for those guys or not. I'm not sure if you're still working for them or not. I think, if I'm not mistaken, you told me that, not told me, but I think you said it on Facebook that you're not going to be doing that anymore. Is that the case? I'm not sure. So, all right. Well, listen, we're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, our good friend Steve Post, the Postman, is going to join us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be back with more Mostly Motorsports in a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sports, we're in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now is our brother Steve Post, the postman. How you doing, Steve?
I am well. How are things in the heartland out there, Scott? Everything good?
Well, you know, listen, I hate to start off by beating this drum with you. I don't know if you listened to the open of the show, but we're a little concerned about the tire consumption that's going to go on here this weekend. I don't know if you've heard, but they're only going to give 30 tires a night this weekend for the World of Outlaws at Tri-City and Hobstadt. They're only going to have 30 H's, those are the right rears, for each night. That could be a problem before it's all said and done.
Yeah, we've got ourselves a big mess.
Yeah.
And I I don't know what the answer is on it. It's a real challenge. It sounds like, I mean, that's what you're hearing out there with the World of Outlaws. The All-Stars in Pennsylvania have all kind of pulled everything together for their series of races, and nobody wants to even think about maybe we'll get through this weekend, mm-hmm. but then what?
Yeah.
We've got a problem. Scott, we're in April.
Right.
Most racetracks have not opened yet.
I know it.
And we're in this problem. Most racetracks are wet and tacky, and we're in this problem.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't even hit the big tire consumption portion of the season. It's not going to be pretty. It's just scary what's going on.
Yeah.
We had Neil Kalman on from Hoosier Tire. Neil is the dirt track guy.
I saw that.
And Neil is great. And I spent this past weekend at Attica with the All-Stars. And I had multiple people come up to me and say, thank you for having Neil on. We love Neil. He is so well-respected. And then they go with, man, they're in a spot. He's in a spot,
yep.
You know, and we just feel bad for him personally because we have so much respect for him.
Yep.
Neil broke this down. There's three elements to this that I think come into play here. There's a manpower issue that they just can't get manpower enough to get production where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem of it is you've got to have skilled labor, and it just takes time to ramp up that skilled labor. Hoosier specifically is in an area where there's also a significant amount of RV construction, and those people are just paying money like you wouldn't believe, so you get a skilled laborer, and someone down the road offers them a couple bucks more an hour, and all that skilled laborer is gone.
Off they
and
go.
And you don't even have a chance.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we have a labor issue that is a problem that is taking time to fix.
Right.
We have got raw materials problems, nylon. We just can't get it. You could get into any political discussion as to why this is the case.
Right.
It doesn't matter. We
no.
can't get it.
Right.
Those are two problems that everybody is having. The third problem that is contributing to this, and I think is a big contributor to this, is there are a lot of people racing. The demand in racing. We've talked about the growth of short track racing.
Yep.
We've talked about how vibrant short track racing is. Well, how vibrant short track racing is means that a lot of people are doing it. The example that I used in talking with Neil is my micro division at Millbridge. Last year, we were low 20s. We're 35 to 40 cars each night in that division. That's like an 80% increase. Now, I know it's not 80% across the country. If it's 20% increase across the country,
right.
How do you build it? So you take supply of labor, supply of materials, and huge demand, and we've got a problem, and it gets even further compounded. And I know you guys talked about this yesterday. American Racer not going to do the dirt modified tires.
Right.
So where are those dirt modified racers looking now? Well, they're looking at Hoosier. Well, there goes your demand further through the roof. So I it's a mess, and I can't even fathom what the solution is at this point.
Yeah. It's not going to get any better either, Steve. You know what I'm more worried about? You know, the traveling teams, they have plenty of funds and they know how to do things, and they've probably stocked up on some of their tires. But I'm more worried about the weekly racing series tracks, right? I'm worried about the guys because American Racer is the tire of choice for most racetracks, right? And
right, correct.
A mods, B mods, E mods, street stocks, they all run that tire. And if they run out of tire, and I say this because, you know, the promoters, they make their money at the start of the season and at the end of the season. The summer months, people kind of tend to stay home and not go as much because it's really hot out, right? And the promoters make their money at the start of the season and at the end of the season. I'm really scared that we're going to lose some racetracks this year.
Well, and we had Brent Marks on that same show, and Brent obviously has been the poster child for some of this discussion with that race at Devil's Bowl where he had the Hoosier stuff blacked out on his car, okay? And so
right.
We had Brent on. And Brent's point is, and it's the same as your point. Okay, here's where we sit. And if there's one organization that's going to get tires for the Travelers, it's the World of Outlaws. And then next is going to be the All-Stars, Knoxville, the big places.
Right.
He said, what happens on a Friday night at Williams Grove when there's 12 sprint cars in the pits?
Yeah.
What, you know, what does that look like? What does it look like when Port Royal and Lincoln, who have been very, very healthy with 30 race cars, we show up one week and there's 16 or 15 race cars? So then this thing spirals. Because your fans are like, well, what the hell? I came to this racetrack and there's 12 sprint cars? You got to be kidding me. I'm not going back there. And it's just, this is a mess that it could be very, very deep. And I'm with you. I'm concerned about some racetracks. I really am. Because I think it's going to trickle down more so to, you know, here, you just talked about it. The big teams, the World of Outlaw teams, when they get a chance through a distributor or through Hoosier, whoever they're buying tires for, if they want to cut a check for 10 or 12 or 15 or 20 or 30 tires, they can.
They can do it.
Well, the mom and pop team struggling to go Friday night at Williams Grove, and when they go to their local distributor and there's no tires, they ain't going racing that weekend. And so I think this thing could get really ugly bad. And the part that scares me most, you and I talked about this about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we talked about what it's going to look like this summer. Scott, we're only 3 weeks later. We're in April.
I know
it. And right now, it appears to me that we've got tires, it appears to me, for this weekend. I don't hear anybody talking about tires for next weekend.
I know it.
I don't know.
It's not good, Steve. Let me ask you, is Goodyear in the same predicament as Hoosier and McCrary? What about NASCAR? Are they concerned about the tire program?
I have not heard one word about it, and I heard you during the opening, and I was like, I wish I'd have thought about it. I wasn't at the NASCAR race. Maybe I would have thought about asking about it.
Yeah.
But I do not know. But I think one factor that Goodyear has when you look at NASCAR, I talked about the three things. You know, the raw materials, the labor, and the demand, okay?
Yeah.
They know right now what the demand for tires is going to be. You know, the volume of tires that Goodyear needs to manufacture for this season is pretty well set. You know, we go to Darlington, you have 10 sets, and maybe you go to 9. You go to Richmond, and you have 7 sets, and you go to this. So they know the demand all the way through the end of the year at Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to believe that stable demand probably helps Goodyear take care of that better than the unstable demand that American Racer and Hoosier is having. That's my theory. I could be totally wrong. I also think that contract is significantly larger than what ABC Speedway has with Hoosier, with American Racer. And there's a whole lot more lawyers involved as well. So I would be surprised to hear we run into that in NASCAR. It might happen. And I will poke around this weekend when we're at Talladega and see if I can find out anything on that. But I will be surprised. I don't think the volume of demand is there like Hoosier and American Racer is going through right now.
Well, I think it's back to what you said. I think that, you know, they're going to prioritize NASCAR because that's a big deal, right? I mean, they're on television every that would be such an ugly scene if Goodyear couldn't afford or couldn't supply those teams with tires and they had to cancel a race. That would be ugly.
Yeah, see, you it's the scale of it. You know, if we miss a race on Flow or Dirt Vision, a sprint car race,
late model
race or a modified race, it's bad. But it's not nearly as bad as NBC Sports not having a race on Sunday afternoon with you know, where Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company could not supply teams with it. So it's a scale thing, and I think that I think it's the demand as well. Goodyear right now could probably produce all of the tires for the balance of the season right now, or fit it into their production schedule when they know they can, because the demand is a lot more stable than what we're looking at with the short tracks.
All right. Well, we'll quit beating that drum and we'll try to change subjects here a little bit, because I know people are getting tired of us talking about it, because that's all. Listen, that's the biggest story in the country right now, isn't it? Tires.
Well, yeah. I mean, nothing has happened with it yet. What happens next week when you go to your local racetrack and the gates are padlocked?
Right. No doubt.
I mean, that honestly was Brent Marks' sole purpose in the stand he took down at Devil's Bowl winning that race is, we've got to talk about this now to get ahead of it.
Right.
So that we know, so that we don't have that bleak scenario that I shared. And that bleak scenario came from Brent, you know, the of Williams Grove and 14 or 16 cars at Lincoln or Port Royal. We need to start talking about this and see if there's a solution with it at this point. So I agree with you. I don't like talking about it at all, but here's the bottom line.
You have to.
It might be that we have nothing to talk about on the racetrack at some point. And that's worse than talking about this.
Wasn't it Robert Ballew that took off the Austin? Wasn't it Robert that took off the thing they put around their neck after he won that race? Didn't he take that off?
Brent Marks took his off after Devil's Bowls went.
But what?
Yeah, that was Brent Marks, yeah.
But Robert was pretty critical when he was on our show of Hoosier as well, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much so. All right, so Steve, I got to talk about Bristol a little bit with you. Before that race, I was pretty critical of it. I thought it was going to be just a crap show, to be honest with you.
Yep.
And I was totally wrong, and I'll admit it. That race was much better than I thought it was going to be. I didn't care much for the ending. I didn't like the way Tyler Reddick got taken out by Chase Briscoe. I didn't like that at the end of it. I don't think he intentionally meant to do that. But, you know, I just hated it for Tyler Reddick because I wanted to see him get his first win, right? What'd you think of that race?
Yeah. Say, I had the same feeling about it. I thought in talking with some people, forget who it was I talked to, somebody that really paid close attention to Stuart Friesen doing the last tire test up there.
Yeah.
And they said that track is going to race a lot better than it did last year. And gosh, who was that? It was somebody that you would know. Gosh, I forget who it was. Anyhow, I was talking to somebody. So I didn't go into it. I went into it thinking, well, this will race better than what it did in the past. And yeah. And it did. And, you know, I mean, the move that Kyle Busch went when he went three wide and drove around a couple guys back up to second spot and just things like that I thought were really, really good. I'm also with you on I hated the way it ended for Tyler Reddick, but I love the fact that Chase Briscoe was hungry going for the win, you know, and I cannot imagine the pucker that he had when he got down in that corner and realized that he was in over his head.
Yeah.
And then here's his buddy Reddick there. So I hate what happened to Tyler Reddick. And simultaneously, I love the fact that Chase Briscoe was going for it. You know, it's kind of one of those, and both of those can be true, even though the result wasn't fine. I hated to see that happen. Especially because Tyler Reddick is just such a class act, such a great racer, such a good guy. And I just, as is Chase Briscoe. I was so happy to see Chase Briscoe win at Phoenix a month ago. And I was like, I was fixing to be so happy to watch Tyler Reddick and then have a ball people chase me, the one that takes him out. But I want my drivers to go for it. And sometimes when you go for it, you step over the line a little bit, and that's what happened with it. And unfortunately, Tyler Reddick was a victim of something that just went horribly bad for him on the racetrack.
So I'm going to say it. Tyler Reddick needed to be a little more ticked off about that, to be honest with you. I know that him and Chase are buddies, and I get that, all right? But when you're going for your first win and you get taken out, and he nearly won that race. He was about 50 feet from winning that race, right? I mean, Kyle Busch just went around him at the last second and beat him to the line.
Yeah.
Me personally, I don't want everybody to be happy when they lose a race. When somebody takes them out, I want them to be ticked off. And, you know, I see it in the commercials, NASCAR commercials, all the time, right? They're playing that card a lot nowadays. They're showing fights in the pits. They're showing people knock each other out of the way. I hate to say it, Steve. I'm going to say it, but I hate to say it. But they kind of spin it a little WWE, right? They want those rivalries. They want those people to be mad at each other. They want to play on people taking each other out. I want to see more of that, and I didn't see that out of Tyler Reddick, and I was a little disappointed by that.
Yeah. I mean, Scott, this is and this is nothing new. How many times have you seen Bobby and Donnie and Cale fighting in turn number three?
Right.
You know, from the 1979 Daytona 500. So let's set aside that this is new. This is part of NASCAR, and I am with you on that. I made my statement about what happened in turn three and four that I hated it for Tyler and loved the move by Chase. I would have thought there'd been a little more fire out of Tyler Reddick after that was over.
Yeah.
He's a pretty low keel, even keeled kind of guy. And he's one of the qualities he have, him and Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott, we don't see as much as we used to. They are uber, uber critical of themselves. So much so, you know, Chase Elliott, I swore there was a time where he could go out and lead all but two laps of a race and lap the field and bemoan in victory lane about the two laps he didn't lead, you know, and what he did wrong in not leading those two laps. Tyler Reddick is very similar, very, okay, this happened, what did I do wrong? And he put it on himself that he should have got away. He was a little too tentative, a little too conservative. I'd have been a little bit more pissed off. I mean, it's like, it's just,
right.
I understand that maybe I could have wheeled it a little harder or done something different. But we all expected it. Every camera, there's still photos of 60 people around there with their phones held up just to watch two guys shake hands. You know, I mean,
yeah.
That was a little anticlimactic, I think,
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, you want those drivers to be wound up a little bit tight when something like that happens, right? And I don't like that Tyler Reddick took the blame himself and put it on himself that he should have done some things a little bit different so he could have got away from Chase Briscoe. I don't like that at all. I think he did everything he had to do to lead that race. He was on his way to victory. Chase went in there, and he drove over his head, and he got sideways. He was going to spin out. His rear bumper took out Tyler Reddick, and I'm like you. I like it when a driver goes for it. I get that part, but you know, I just hate it for Tyler Reddick that he didn't get his first win. And to be honest with you, if Chase Briscoe would have come over to me after that race, right then. He either would have ate his teeth, or I would have said, "Get away from me! I don't want to talk to you right now."
Right, absolutely.
Yeah,
I totally agree with that. I don't think scrapping around after a race is a bad thing. I like a pissed off second place finisher. I love a pissed off second place finisher.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a pissed off second place finisher usually means we saw a pretty good race.
Right.
You know, or saw something dramatic. And so I'm with you on that. I just he was just laid back and. You know, I mean, I don't know. I agree with you on that. I wish there'd have been a little bit more fire on that one. But you know but that's Tyler. He is
laid back.
Like I said, uber critical himself and so laid back. But man, I'll tell you what, that's one thing. The guy that benefited the most from that is Kyle Busch.
Right.
You know, and people are all over the map on Kyle Busch. There are those people that absolutely hate him, and there are those people that absolutely love him. Here's one thing that I am a guy that has stuck a microphone in front of Kyle Busch's face as many, many times as anybody else.
Right.
I have zero problem in the world when he's pissed off and finishes second.
I don't have a problem with it either.
No problem in the world.
None.
I have no problem in the world with that because that's the respect I have for Kyle as a racer. I hate that they feel like they have to be pissed off that something went bad. But I have no problem with it, and I'm with you. I'd like to see a little bit more out of Tyler at the end of that one. And yeah, I have the idea of Chase Briscoe walking over to Scott Traylor. We'd have to roll tape on that one.
Right, right. Well, you know what the old saying is: you show me a loser. What is the saying? You show me a sore loser. No. Gosh, what is that saying? Gosh, dogs.
Yeah,
I had it right on the tip of my tongue, and I just blew it away. I can't remember what I was going to say. Anyway, long story short, were you a little disappointed in the performance of Christopher Bell and Kyle Larson? Because It just didn't. I know Christopher, he looked good there for a small portion of the race, right? But he didn't look good the entire race. And to be honest with you, Kyle Larson just really hasn't looked like himself for the last few weeks.
No, he won that race earlier this year at Las Vegas.
Right.
But they're not performing the way they were a year ago.
Yeah.
And the Hendrick camp, you know, William Byron's won two races. You know, Alex Bowman's won a race. So yeah. The Hendrick cars seem to be all right. But Kyle Larson is not performing as well as they were a year ago. You know, I'm not sure we're ready to mix things up over there. But I would not be surprised if there's not been some what's going on questions over there, and how do we get this thing, you know, back to where that number five car is in the picture all the time on TV.
Yeah.
And that's not been the case. And I think a place like Bristol really, really showcases that more, because we had such expectations of him being up front, and he wasn't up front. I mean, he was all right at times. Christopher was better at times, but ultimately, you know, I mean, here's the reality of it right now with all of these teams, though. We had two dirt track guys with Tyler Reddick and Chase Briscoe racing for the lead. Briscoe probably had the fastest car. That's not the first time this year that those two have been battling for the lead.
That's true.
You know, I think the five is a little off the game. Kyle Larson's a little off the game, but I think there's a couple of other teams that have stepped up their game as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Tyler Reddick winning that race would not have been a shocker based on his performance through this year. It's not like he's been running around 25th and jumps up 1 week and contends. Chase Briscoe has a win. You know, we could throw Ross Chastain into this conversation. There's a couple of these young guys that are running up front. And when you get new guys running up front, it's like, where were the guys that were running up front? And Kyle Larson is one of those guys that just seems to be a little off right now. And I tend to believe they get it sorted out. I think they're all perfectly capable and talented enough to do it, but I think they're a little off their game right now. And I think it really is a little bit more glaring when you look at a race like Bristol, where he was, you know, kind of one of the favorites coming through the gates.
Do you think Kyle Larson's having a problem adapting to the new car? Because, you know, he was so dominant in that G6 car, and now he's in this new car, and it just doesn't seem like it's clicking for him right there. Do you think it's him not having a good feel for the car, or do you think it's more about the team?
If he had trouble adapting to the car, that'd be the weirdest thing in the history of motorsport.
Because he's got to be the best driver in NASCAR, right?
Yeah, because his story has been how he adapts to everything.
Right.
You know, I mean, he jumps into a dirt late model, of all places, at Port Royal with the Lucas Oil late model series and wins the race.
Right.
I mean, so I can't really lay this. I can't lay this on his feet as far as adapting to a car, because he has made a career out of being the first man to adapt to the car. You know, I wonder if some of the communication, some of the adjustments they make during the course of the race, some of those things are a little off the mark. If they just can't seem to figure out how to make the car better, you know, you look at some of these races and he starts out good and then he stays the same. I think some other teams are maybe making adjustments a little better. So maybe it's who's making better adjustments on the car,
right?
Who's getting that car, you know, who's doing that. Maybe that's what it is. I tend not to believe Kyle adapting to the car, because it'd be the first car in American motorsports that he's not been able to adapt to, because he's just, you know, as we know, that's how good he is.
You want to know somebody that really sucks right now? It's Kevin Harvick. Man, he is just, it's miserable for him right now, isn't it?
You know, it's fascinating. I mean, he had a good run at Richmond. He finished second at Richmond. I had 2 weeks ago for NASCAR Live, one of the producers reached out and said, hey, tomorrow morning at 9:00, can you do an interview? And I said, sure. Who are we talking to? This is Kevin Harvick. I'm like, oh, dear God. You know, I mean, just what do you talk about?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's like, so, Kevin, you know.
Your season sucks.
I was. Yeah. That's it. And so how do you come through the door and do that? And so I always go in real general with something like that. And, I said, you know, kind of assess your season, seven races in or six races in, wherever it was, assess your season and some of the things you're working on to make improvements. And he was a great interview. He was fantastic. And he just talked about how they've struggled a little bit with the car and getting their hands around it. It was very glaring at Martinsville. I'm not sure I put much weight in a dirt track race. Harvick has been very vocal about not liking dirt track racing. So, I mean, his, he had the mud clog it all up. He was behind the eight ball before he even got started at Bristol. So I'll be anxious to see, Talladega is always a weird one. I'll be anxious to see, like, when we get going to Dover and Darlington and Kansas and Texas and Charlotte, I'll be anxious to see where they stack up, because I think we'll get a good gauge. Now, the one thing Kevin Harvick was just, it was so refreshing to hear, was he was just glowing about how he was enjoying the science project of this car, and there was a lot of areas where they could dig in and work on it with him and Rodney Childers. And he flatlined it right out of the bat. He said, I'll be honest with you, I thought the car was going to be a total disaster. He said, and it's a pleasure to drive, and it's been fun for us to work on. We still have work to do, but it's been fun to work on. So I think that they're I'll give them an incomplete grade right now. I think we talk about this. We get to the middle or latter portion of May when we get on some traditional racetracks. I'll be anxious to see where that team is. I just think they're all better than what we're seeing right now. And it's been a little weird run. The Bristol thing is glaring. That's mud in the grill and everything. They missed it at Martinsville, but he did finish second at Richmond. So let's keep working on that one and see where we're at. If we get through the Coca-Cola 600 and the numbers are still in the basement, then they got real problems, I think.
Yeah, no doubt. You were calling some races last night, weren't you? Millbridge, right?
Oh, gosh, man, I'll tell you what. Millbridge Speedway, my little home track here in Salisbury. Yeah, it's Tuesday night is kids' night. And they have box stocks and junior wings and kids and beginner box stocks. And they even do cadets, which are the beginner box stocks, 82 cars out there last night in four divisions. 82 cars out there. Families having fun. And so, got a chance to call the races last night. And it looks like as of this morning, I haven't shared anybody. So this will be first time I've shared it. It looks like I've got a gig out there. Any Tuesday night I'm available, I'm going to go out there and call the races. So it there for the PA and the stands. And then it's on Dirt Vision. But I'll tell you, the kids are just the kids are a lot of fun. There's a lot of NASCAR kids there. What I really like, though, is almost I like the non-NASCAR kids. The ones that we don't know the last name stepping up. And we had a little kid, Easton Thomas. And I know his daddy. His daddy ran late models around here. Dude Thomas, Brian Dude Thomas. And this little guy isn't 4 feet tall. He's in the cadets, 5 to 8 years old. He's not 4 feet tall, and he's out there looking through the steering wheel of that little cart and just rolling and rolling and rolling. And he goes into turn number three on the last lap in second spot. The leader checked up a little bit, and this little kid made a move and won the race on the last lap on the last corner. And priceless. His dad set him up on the wing, and he did a wing dance. And just those moments are just so much fun, and I really love being out there and seeing all of that. Whether it's I had this kid in Victory Lane, and I had Brexton Bush in Victory Lane bragging that he's won 10 times on dirt, and his dad's only won once on dirt this year. So everyone's having a good time at Millbridge. It's a ball out there. I've enjoyed it. So Wednesday night, tonight we have micros out there. The micro racing has been spectacular this year. Tuesday night is more of the kids in the box stocks, and it's been a fun ride, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So are you going to catch any big car stuff this weekend? What are you going to do for that? Are you going to get a chance to go watch some of the All-Stars?
No, I'm Talladega bound this weekend, so I'll be down there.
That's right.
I may sneak over to the dirt track. Pete Walton, USCS, is over at the dirt track, and so I may step over there and watch Hall of Famer Terry Gray race and see if Danny Smith comes out and races with everybody, another Hall of Famer. I know Chase Briscoe and Ricky Stenhouse are entered in that race, so I think may sneak over to the dirt track Friday or Saturday night. Who knows? I may get bored in the hotel and sneak over both nights. So. But Talladega with ARCA, Xfinity, and Cup is the big project this weekend.
Well, I'm going to be hopefully we won't get rained out at US 36 because they're going to be running the Lucasoil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. That's only about 45 minutes from my house, so hopefully that doesn't get rained out this weekend. And to be honest with you, I wish I was out on the East Coast so I could go to Bloomsburg, Williams Grove and Port Royal this weekend. That would be a great three race weekend. I wish I could go.
Yeah. All-Stars. I spent the weekend with the All-Stars up at Attica. They are loaded up and ready to go. Pennsylvania Posse has been really, really good. So the first real test for everybody is this weekend. And Bloomsburg's a tight little racetrack. Williams Grove is obviously a paperclip. And then the big speed palace at Port Royal. So a good test for everybody. We'll see who's got what this weekend. It's going to be a great weekend up in central Pennsylvania for sure.
How about Tyler Courtney? How did he start off his season so good, man? That's unbelievable, isn't it?
Cat is just rolling. You know, I mean, Friday night, it was him and Justin Peck, and they, depending on who you talk to, got together or didn't get together, and Peck ended up going around, and it was, some pretty good racing there, some real hardcore racing. Saturday night, Sunshine just blew the lid off from that thing. I mean, he was just so good. He had that car dialed in, just so good. So, it's going to be anxious to see. Again, okay, that is good. You're in Attica, Ohio, and Attica has some great local racers. Cole Duncan was there. He had a podium finish. Craig Mintz had a podium finish. Greg Wilson's not running the full All-Star Tour. He's an Ohio-based team. So there's a lot of good racers there, and those are the little bull rings. That's a little dry, slick bull ring. Now you're getting ready to see how your half-mile program is when you go to Williams Grove and Port Royal. So we'll see how Sunshine fares over there on the eastern side. But you're right. He got a great start to the season sweeping Attica this weekend.
It was good to see Zeb get up there and get that second-place finish too.
Yeah, Zeb's such a good kid. My gosh, what a good kid he is. And, it was good to see him get that second-place run too. So fun stuff. The All-Stars are going to be a fun tour to follow this year. It's going to be good all across the board. They're just some really good people and good racers in that tour.
Yeah, Wayne Purdy, he's a good guy too, by the way. So just so you know.
Yeah, yeah. What he's doing with Zeb there, working with Zeb on that, I think that's great. Yep. I love it. I really do.
Yep. Steve, thanks so much for taking the time. Your appearance has been brought to you by Sage Fruit. We want to thank those guys for always allowing you to come over here and be a part of our show. They're great guys, a great company, and we appreciate you taking the time each and every Wednesday to join us here on the show.
Always a pleasure, Scott. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate you. And there you have it, Steve Post, the postman. What'd you get out of that there? I think Steve wanted to see those two fight.
I think he did.
Yeah.
I think he did. He's got plenty of racing to go to this weekend. You know, it'd be pretty cool to go head over to Talladega Short Track and see Chase Briscoe run a wing sprint car. You know, he's going to do a 25-race little mini-series this year, race wing sprint cars, midgets, and late models. So it'll be good to see Chase kind of get back to his roots.
Yeah, yeah. What is this? What am I looking at? We dropped on Facebook, right?
Yes, I believe what we narrowed it down to was the streaming provider that we go through disconnected our Facebook stream. So what happened?
Why?
I don't know.
Does Kirk have any idea why that happened?
That's just kind of Kirk knows more about it than I do, and that's what he kind of figured it out. But it just, I was watching the stream and it went down on me. So hopefully most of our listeners, you know, came over and watched us on YouTube for the last 15 minutes of the show.
Yeah. Well, we're sorry about that, folks. Darn it.
Well, we'll get it fixed for tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll definitely have it done. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show today. We appreciate it. And sorry about the Facebook feed. We'll have it all working tomorrow here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Want to thank Steve Post for joining us here on the show. For Kirk Elliott, for my producer, Austin O'Neill, I'm Scott Traylor saying we'll see you tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time, right here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment.
It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.